Blog Talk Radio.
Don't let the liberal media tell you how to think and feel. If you have hate in your heart, let it out. Open up your heart and let that hate out.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Hey, I'm a little man. It's for the snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the man was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
Ah!
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
It's Reese on the radio, and we are back as usual. On this Thursday, Therapy Thursday, May the 3rd, 2012. Now, I promise that today I'm going to do something different. I may not have exactly mentioned it on air, but I said I was going to do something different. But don't worry, we'll get to that in a little bit. It's 2 minutes after the hour. It's May the 3rd. There's a lot of stuff going on, especially for me personally, and we'll get into that. But I have to talk about something that's been driving me up the wall today. And that is stupidity within the black community. Now, I woke up this morning, and I had to listen to Steve Hardley, amusing, hardly entertaining. But God bless him, number one movie in the country. He's got it going on with a syndicated show. I am not bitter nor jealous. That's great. He's found his niche. God bless him. But a fact is a fact. He is the moron. And I've grown very tired of his problem. I've grown very tired of his partisanship. It got so bad today that I actually had to send him out an email just to let him know how I felt. Had to do it. I was forced to do it. I was just completely fed up with him. So I jotted it out. I broke down a couple of simple factors to him, and that was, let's just say the anecdote was Oprah Winfrey. And I explained to him in the email that the reason why he should check himself before he riggedy wrecks himself is because right now it's 6 months away from the election. This fool is screaming to his audience, we need to get Obama back in. We need to re-elect him. That's what he was saying today. He wasn't asked to give a reason why. That's because no one on his staff, though. Nobody on his staff is going to challenge him. Steve, tell us why we should re-elect Barack Obama. None of his lackeys are going to do that because they're right along with him. They're in lockstep with him. When he got on the air today, and what made me fire off that little email to him was this. It was real simple, and I'm paraphrasing as to what he said. Some of the stuff I'll get accurate. But I'm paraphrasing it. He started to go into this conversation about Barack Obama trying to pass bills. And Barack Obama is trying to get bills passed, and the Republicans keep blocking him. Every time he tries to get something passed, the Republicans keep trying to block him. They don't want anything he wants to get passed. The reason why that irritates Steve Harvey doesn't even tell you what the bills are. He has a clue, and I know he doesn't have a clue, because he doesn't follow politics. That's why he's too busy talking about things like Lee. He's not qualified to. All he knows is that he's black. Barack Obama is black. Both black. He knows celebrities. He knows gossip. He does his little jokey jokes. He sings along with old records. And that's the effect of him. He's not one of those guys who actually follows politics. He doesn't know it. You couldn't ask Steve Harvey one thing about politics. You wouldn't know what he was talking about, much less a stick. I just want to make sure I don't lose my audio. I got backup. But he wouldn't know what he was talking about. He's unprepared. He's ill-prepared. He just knows that he wants Barack Obama to be the president because he thinks that's the thing to do. He thinks his audience will love him for it. Steve Harvey doesn't care if he's the primrose half the familiar.
Dude, you're about to be out of here.
Coming now.
What's that?
I gotta be on now.
Yeah. Wow, you sound like you sound like you're on the episode of the $6 Million Man, and you're doing sound effects.
Okay. Am I good to go now?
Yeah, you're good now.
Don't worry, I got backup on this one.
I see.
Yeah, I got the backup.
Yeah.
So if anything goes wrong, I'm still going to be on. You won't lose me today. But back to my point. The basic point is this. Is that Steve Harvey, he gets a large check. He's making money. He's making moolah. What this president does to you means nothing to him. He could care less about what happens to you. Now, he's got nothing to gain from this. Nothing. He doesn't get, he does. He gets a little bit of preferential treatment. I hear that a couple of members of his show are going down to the Pentagon to go meet the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I hear that coming up for him. You know, he gets treated like royalty. He gets kudos. And that's good for him. That's good for his brand. Why wouldn't it be? Completely understandable. See, a lot of these fools in the business, and it's usually these liberals with money. Liberals with money are the worst kinds. Because all they have to do is talk about what they want for you. They can talk about what somebody else is going to do for you. But they know that it means nothing to them at the end of the day. Michael Moore, another fine example. Guy's worth $70 million, I presume. Or at least that's what people are saying. Making his little documentaries. Goes down to the Occupy Wall Street movement to go march with the 99% while he sits. And his bank account sits in the 1%. he's so worried about the 99%, we'll give you a visual. But he's down there rallying with you. Kanye West, Jay-Z, Russell Simmons. Do you ever notice the hypocrisy here? Jay-Z is worth more money than Mitt Romney, according to published reports. Mitt Romney, somewhere worth $250 million. Jay-Z, scraping $500 million. And with the combined sales, I'd say that they've been at least above that. But they're down there worth the 90. What do you do?
Dude, we didn't catch the last 3 minutes of what you were saying.
Let me reiterate. What they do is simple. They go down there and talk about you and how you're disenfranchised, so that when you start running around bashing windows, destroying people's property, you won't go to their house. That's all they're doing. They're protecting themselves from you by going down there and saying stupid things, insidious things about people who are in their tax bracket. You got Warren Buffett, the aforementioned, and what I mean aforementioned, I mean, you know, Russell Simmons, Jay-Z, all those guys. Steven Spielberg, Matt Damon, George Clooney. They're worried about you and you being impoverished. Well, the truth is, they're protecting their own. All they want to do is make sure that when the riots begin, you won't touch their stuff. You won't beat them over the head, take their wallet, rob them in the street, pummel them, like you want to do all those rich fat cats that you claim to hate. They'll get a pass. And that's exactly who Steve Harvey is. Now, I mention this because I called up a show right here on Blog Talk Radio. It's called The Real Blancers. JC, look them up. They're on Blog Talk Radio. They call themselves The Real Blancers. And it's like answers with a BL. And I was on their show today. And they put some black woman on there. And she's telling everybody, you need to get out there and vote. Get your stuff together. Better register to vote. Rock the vote. And re-elect Barack Obama. And I simply asked the host of the show, you guys don't drug test before you let people on the air? You guys don't do a screening? He laughed, of course. But sister girl lost her mind. Because she has no clue what the facts are. She just knows what she's been told, and she's gotten her marching orders. Hey, nigga, get out there and reelect that black man. Don't you go thinking. Don't need no reports. Yeah, I know they're out there telling you that it's bad, but don't you listen. You heard me? There's a black man in the White House. You do what you're supposed to do. He's black, you're black. Don't think. You leave that to us. We don't need you out there thinking for yourself. Now shut your face and pull that lever for that black man. It's that simple. like it or not. I don't know what it is that is motivating them. If they're not thinking for themselves, other than tribalism. And if it is that, so be it. Ignorant is going to be ignorant. I wish it didn't have to be, but you've chosen it. You've chosen your road. So anyone who listens to this today, and there will be, and I'll get emails, and I get them, I just want you to hear me loud and clear. There are
target
fools
located.
Out there. What were you going to say?
Target located.
What's that?
Target located.
Aha, you got him.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, where was I? That's my point.
My apologies.
No, no, it's okay. I don't know what it is that you're going to do with yourselves. But when you hear this today, and you go back and you listen to the show, because we get a lot of people who listen to the show after it's on, people listen to it the next day, and we'd like to thank each and every one of you checking out the archives of the show. We're on during prime time. I know a lot of you got to watch, you know, your Two and a Half Men, your CSIs, whatever it is that's on today, How I Met Your Mother. And then you come back and you check out the show because you know we're going to be here. And we're your late night entertainment. From what I hear in the emails, people are listening to us at work. This portion, you don't want to play loud. But let me be the first to tell you, as a black man, there are some really foolish black people. And unfortunately, it's a large majority of them. I know that they don't want to be classified as ignorant. Because, see, when black people hear the word ignorant, it's just as bad as calling them nigger. It is. They don't understand the definition of the word. They just hear ignorant. But they don't understand the word. So I implore every Negro you pass this off to. And I ask you, nicely, you have a black friend? Let them hear this portion of the show. I ask you, please, let them hear this portion of the show. It's important to them, even if it makes them angry. Even if they say, you listen to this? What are you, a racist? You tell them, he asked me if I would play this for you. And I am. I'm begging you. Please play this for them. Now, if you have that black person in front of you at this point, okay, look at them right in the face, okay, while they're listening. It's going to be really, really simple. Okay. All right. Hey, black person. The person who's given you an opportunity to listen to this is trying to do you a favor. My name is Reese from Reese on the Radio. I am a black man. I am from the hood. I'm from Hollis, Queens. I lived in a single-parent household. My mother only made $18,000 a year when I was growing up, and there were five kids. I know what it's like to be poor. I know what it's like to be on welfare. I know what it's like to struggle. It is important that you wake up, Negro, or Negra. I don't know if I'm talking to a male or a female. It's important that you wake up. If you or any one of your black friends are rushing to the polls on election day to vote for Barack Obama, and one of the reasons that they choose to do it is health care, or one of the reasons why they're doing it is because he didn't create this mess,
or if one of the reasons is he's trying. Slap the effing crap out of that Negro. And if you're thinking that, slap yourself. Get the information. We live in an information age. Everyone's got a computer. And if you don't have one, I'm pretty sure you've got access to one. Get online. Get the information. Stop going to Media Matters. Stop going to Politico. Stop going to the Huffington Post. Stop going to Yahoo News. Please stop going to ABC, NBC, or CBS, or MSNBC, or CNN to get your goddamn news. Get the information. It's there. You're being lied to. Get the information. If you wonder why the poverty levels have grown, not just under Obama, for 50 years, it's because you continue to vote for Democrats. Not just in the national election, in your own communities. Get the information. Wake the hell up. Spike Lee doesn't know what he's talking about. Danny Glover doesn't know what he's talking about. Samuel L. Jackson doesn't know what he's talking about. All your favorite actors and actresses don't know what they're talking about. They're not equipped. Neither is Steve Harvey or whatever his name is. Not Michael Bazden. And damn sure not Tom Joyner. Get the information or you are going to destroy the lives of your children, those in your community, and it's going to be your goddamn fault because you didn't get the information. I'm only going to ask you once. This is the most important election of your lives. And if you're not paying attention, you're going to lose everything. Everything that you're trying to gain, everything you want better for yourself, is going to be gone. You cannot reelect this man. It has nothing to do with his color. It has to do with his character, who he is, what he thinks, what he wants. What he wants isn't good for you. As a black person, it's not good for you. Forget about whites. Forget about Latinos. Forget about anybody else, Asians. This is directed specifically for you. Black man, black woman, black girl, black boy, black child. This is directed to you. A separate message. Get your information. That's it. As the old stupid saying goes, the life you save could be your own. When we come back, I'm going to tell you the scariest thing that I read today. Reconfirming what it is that I've been saying for about 3 years. Wait until you find out what our biggest enemy's favorite news channel is. You're going to be shocked. It's Reese on the Radio.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started. Spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the 5 states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership. or all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward, and the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours. A great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com. What is a boy to do?
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
It's Rich on the Radio, and we are back live right here on Blog Talk Radio. 31 minutes after the hour, Eastern Time. Casey, you can hear me now, can't you? At least
yes,
I can.
Did you lose your buttons?
Anyway, 31 minutes after the hour is your time.
Hey, did you lose your buttons?
A story that I saw today that actually flipped my mind, probably only because it confirmed to me that I know what it is that I'm talking about. And as I expressed in the last half hour, is that a lot of these fools just don't get it. And liberals sometimes need a wake-up call. And that wake-up call is really, really simple. It's really, really simple. This was a story that I saw on Newsbusters today. And the Newsbusters blog wrote a story about Al-Qaeda. Because as many people have heard, or maybe you didn't, some information about Osama bin Laden and some files on his computer. The files on his computer had talked about some of the Al-Qaeda leaders and, you know, what some of their likes and dislikes about what happened to Al-Qaeda, where it is today, where it isn't today, what it is they'd like to do. So let me read this story. Among the various media outlets and personalities that Al-Qaeda was really, really in love with was the fired MSNBC anchor Keith Olbermann. And he was singled out for praise in an internal Al-Qaeda memo released to the public by the U.S. intelligence agency. Now, why in the hell would Al-Qaeda like Keith Olbermann of MSNBC? Absolutely makes no sense to me. But they do. They like good old Keith Olbermann. And their favorite news network, ladies and gentlemen, is ABC News. ABC News. They said that ABC News gets out the message.
Of all things.
Our biggest enemy. People want us dead.
Hello.
They loved ABC News. And the reporter, Brian Ross.
Yo.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Mute your PC mic.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I gotcha.
Thought I was in a disco for a moment.
I'm echoing, apparently.
Well, it's more than echoing. It's doubling back. You sound like you were barking for about 3 to 5 seconds.
My apologies. So, back to my point. Let me read the report. In a letter outlining Al-Qaeda's media strategy ahead of the 10th anniversary of 9/11, the terror group's top spokesman expressed disdain for only one network, Fox News, and laments that Keith Olbermann's departure from MSNBC may make the Little Watch Network a less friendly conduit for Al-Qaeda propaganda. He says, quote, from the professional point of view, they are all on one level, except the Fox News Channel, which falls into the abyss, as you know, and lacks neutrality, too. This is in a January 2011 letter, which was among 6,000 pages of documents recovered during the raid that killed Osama bin Laden. Now, why would the Al-Qaeda network hate Fox News but love ABC and Keith Olbermann on MSNBC and the MSNBC network. Let me give you a theory. Well, it's more than a theory. It breaks down the fact. One of the only networks that refuse to name the killers as the killers on 9/11 as Muslims. Liberal media. Which networks were fighting for the mosque at Ground Zero, saying that anyone who didn't like it was a racist? Even though the guy who was trying to put it together was blaming the United States for Osama bin Laden. Yeah, said we created him. Said it in a meeting in Australia. Called black people monkeys. But yet liberal media, they couldn't stop talking about it. Michael Bloomberg said they should be able to build the mosque. And the liberal news media told the lie. The only people who were investigating the background of the mosque was Fox News. And their Al-Qaeda ties. So of course Al-Qaeda didn't like them. And here it is from one of the leaders of Al-Qaeda. 6,000 documents found in the compound of our number one enemy. Talking about how he liked liberal media and hated Fox News. So I got one question. Do you really want to side with the group that Al-Qaeda loves? Our sworn enemies? The people who have decided to kill us because of our way of life? So with all of you fools out there who are screaming, Fox News lies, Fox News lies. Well, I guess Al-Qaeda don't love them either. Now, I don't want to say it, but I'm forced to. If you people believe in the liberal media, you know better than them. You're nothing more than a bunch of freaking terrorists, as far as I'm concerned. You're all a bunch of hacks. You want to destroy this country anyway, don't you? You don't like capitalism. You don't like conservatism. The world's got to change, right? Everybody's got to get their fair share. Hey, what the hell? Sign up. Put a burqa on your ass. Put a bomb in your gut. What else can I ask you to do? Let's go to the phones. 347-308-8701. Kool-Aid Man's in the house.
As always.
Hey, he's not. Hey, there he is. So, Al-Qaeda likes MSNBC, and ABC doesn't like Fox News.
Just shows me nobody likes Fox News.
Oh, even our enemy.
But you know what? You know, getting back to your comment that it makes us, anybody who likes that or wants to champion either liberal media or the media that will give both sides is just as bad as. I don't agree with that. I really don't. And it goes back to, all right, you have your fringe elements everywhere. All right? Just because you have a couple of kooks who happen to like you doesn't mean you're for the kooks.
Well, what does it mean then?
Well, it means that they actually see something that we have tried to do. Look, again, there's that old saying, I may not like what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it.
Liberals don't feel that way.
And taking that standpoint, you have to take the good with the bad. You can't just hide away from the bad or put it in a corner thinking it's just going to stay there and the rest of your viewers or listeners are just going to be insulated.
James, it doesn't trouble you that this guy, Gadon, he says Gadon's favorite is ABC News because it seems to be the best route to get Al-Qaeda's statements published. ABC's channel is all right. Actually, it could be one of the best channels as far as we are concerned. It is interested in Al-Qaeda's issues, particularly the journalist Brian Ross, who is specialized in terrorism. The channel is still proud for his interview with Shaikh, I guess. It also broadcasts excerpts from a speech of mine on the fourth anniversary. The fourth anniversary of September 11th. It also published most of the text on the site and on the internet. While happy with ABC, Gadon writes that Al Jazeera and jihadi forms of the internet are not useful. Gadon writes that CNN seems to be in a cooperation with the government. Wow.
And people have been saying that for a long time.
In fact, CNN, they used to say the CNN stands for Clinton News Network
during the time the Clintons were in office.
He says that CNN seems to be in cooperation with the government more than others, but expresses less certainty about MSNBC, writing that he no longer considered it to be neutral, which to him means an easy conduit for Al-Qaeda propaganda, because it has lately fired Keith Olbermann.
Okay, wait. Go back again. He said that
he no longer considered it to be neutral, which to him means an easy conduit for Al-Qaeda propaganda, because it has lately fired Keith Olbermann and Octavia Nasser, the Lebanese. Apparently she was the Lebanese reporter there.
Mm-hmm.
Gadon is blunt about Fox News, clearly viewing it as a media conduit least helpful to spreading Al-Qaeda's message.
Well, I mean,
Should any news organization be spreading the message of our sworn enemy?
It's not even as just spreading the message. The fact is, the message is getting out there anyway. The thing is, what liberal media, at least some of the news sites that I happen to listen to, at least give you both sides of the story. Okay? And again, you have to take the good with the bad, because I want to know what these people are thinking as well. I'm not just going to take what someone else or someone from the government is telling me, because all
you don't believe. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You say you're not going to take what the government is telling you, and you're going to have to clear that up a little better. So you're saying you don't even trust your government when it comes to our sworn enemies.
No.
People
no.
who have clearly
no.
not only decided
no.
that we're our enemies, but have clearly tried to take us out on September 11th.
Right. And again, the best way to defeat your enemy is to understand it. And how do you do that?
I agree with you there.
If you can't have your beliefs and standards challenged, then you know what? You should just hide in a corner. But I want to know what they're thinking. I want to know, and if they're so arrogant that they're going to go on national TV and try to spread that message, I want to hear that message. I want to know where they're at.
Well, that's your government's only supposed to be there to inform you to be safe, be diligent. We don't have to spread
be
their
diligent,
message.
And yet they keep telling, but more often than not, they'll tell us, well, we know what we're talking about. You just give us this, either give us people or give us money, and trust that we know what we're doing. However, and then all the while they keep saying that, you know, we can't be fully involved. They keep treating us like idiots, but they won't let us be fully involved. But if we're fully involved, we may just go with you anyway. More often than not, we get upset is that we're kept in the dark. And yet you want us to give you what you want anyway.
So you will, okay. Now hear what it is that you're saying here. So let's spread the Al-Qaeda message. And the Al-Qaeda message is death to America. Right? You want everyone to hear that message. Is that what you're saying?
I want, if these people are the boogeymen and the threats that you're telling us they are,
September 11th wasn't enough for you?
I want to be able to decide for myself.
But September 11th wasn't enough for you?
And if I listen to this man and all his rhetoric, then I can decide for myself. Yes.
I'm just asking. September 11th wasn't enough for you?
September 11th wasn't enough for me? Well,
that wasn't enough to give you a clear example of what their agenda was?
Now, if you want to put it that way, you know, again,
I mean, if they wanted to prove their point,
I am not one who's going to make a knee-jerk assumption. All right?
Oh,
because
you need more
September 11th.
You need more proof than that. You need more proof.
No, it's not that I need more proof. It's not that I need more proof, but I want to know where my focus is going to be.
I'm sticking with that. I'm sticking with that, James. So I'm saying, Al-Qaeda's message, death to America, death to the infidels, death to the Jews, you want that plastered on the news every day.
Not every day.
But you want to know it.
I don't want
to. You want everybody to know it.
But, I think we have a right to know.
Okay, all right. So now the world knows that Al-Qaeda is out to kill them every day. We are going to firebomb your buildings. There's a new report Brian Ross just did that said they're going to do brush fires next. Right? In dry land. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to attack us with brush fires. Okay. So now the country's living in fear. You don't think there's going to be panic, mass hysteria?
That's the point I'm trying to make. All right. Again, why is it everyone figures that we are such idiots and we are such children that we are just going to flip out?
James,
there's going to be panic in the streets. There's going to be this. There's going to be that. Well, you know what?
James,
it doesn't happen all that much.
James, what
it
was
really
it on September 11th? There wasn't panic? There wasn't mass hysteria?
There wasn't mass hysteria. There was panic in the streets There was panic in the streets around.
It was mass hysteria. I was there. I watched it. It was mass hysteria.
Oh, really? Oh, and you were the only one. Okay. What I also know is, all right, after everything died down, especially on that day, all right, now on that day when it was hit, you had things that could panic you. I mean, a massive explosion, two of them. You had ash and dust floating all over the city.
A skyscraper falling to the ground.
Okay, and a main attraction of the New York City skyline falls. So, yeah, people are going to say, oh, gee, what was that? But what I noticed, and what people seem to forget is right after that, Americans got down in the dirt and they started digging to find survivors. They started banding together to show solidarity.
Only after they maintain order. But wait a minute, hold on. But as a radio personality who was on the air in New York during September 11th, the days following, and, of course, the day of, do you know what the phone calls I got from places like Harlem.
Oh, here we go.
From places like Brooklyn. Why aren't the cops here? Why are the cops all the way down at Ground Zero? They won't come up here. They're all downtown, but they could hit us up here. Jokingly, I must admit, I actually said, what, do you think somebody's going to fly a building into the Apollo Theater? Knock it off. But the point was, that's the kind of panic that spreads. And if you don't believe that, look at all the 9/11 truthers who are out there today who claim that it was an inside job. People who think that George W. Bush was a part of it. So mass hysteria.
You're always going to have your loonies. All right? You're always going to have your conspiracy
loonies.
Theory.
James,
all right?
James,
hold on.
James,
come on, man.
James, Van Jones. Hold on. Van Jones. Okay? He was the green czar. Green energy czar at the White House, man. He was appointed by President Barack Obama. He's a 9/11 truther. He was in the White House. He worked in the White House. He had to get fired once it was found out. Torre, Time Magazine columnist, MSNBC contributor, a 9/11 truther. We're not talking about just the dredges of the earth or a bunch of wingnuts.
All right, okay. All right, fine.
We're talking about prominent members of society.
As I said, you were always going to have those kind of people. Always. Someone who's going to put their agenda ahead of anything else, no matter what it is. However, the city and the country didn't just follow along like lemmings. It didn't. There was no mass evacuation. There wasn't people running to the stores buying duct tape and water.
Sure,
right?
They were, James.
Not en masse. All right. Yeah,
sure,
you're gonna
sure
have
they were, James.
That subject, but in totality, the rest of us and most of us, we dug in and we said, okay, you got that, but you're not going to defeat us.
Yes. The point is that we're not going to – you're not going to be defeated. But the one
That's
thing
right.
that
That's
we are not going to do – wait.
When you see that, and yet you
wait,
see
wait.
That, and yet we're still treated as if
James,
we're just going to panic in any moment.
Listen to me. We're not going to be defeated, okay? But the one thing we're not going to do is allow you to spread fear into our lives. We're not going to allow you to do that. And
no,
network,
that's right. And the
on,
thing is,
the news
and how,
network,
we, and
okay,
how do we
the
prove
news
that,
network.
Mr. Hopkins? How do we prove that? By staring it in the face.
No,
by staring it in the face, you can say what you want.
Let me tell you how we prove that. We simply tell them to F off. We don't put their propaganda on our airwaves. We let them know, don't worry about what you're going to do here. We're coming to you. Don't worry about coming over here. We'll come see you. We're coming to your turf. Don't worry about coming over here. You're never getting over here. We'll stop you at every border. But where you live, we're coming to get you.
Right.
We're not going to let our airwaves, we're not going to let our people be terrorized by you with news report about how you want to kill us. That's not how we operate.
You don't get terrorized by a news report, Reese.
Yeah, but the network like ABC, CNN, and NBC, they love spewing that fear. They love telling people.
You know what? If anything, all right, then you might as well blame that on all news entities.
Yeah, but I just told you, according to Al-Qaeda, who is the barometer here, Fox News won't do it.
Why is
Fox News is the only news network that says we're not spreading that propaganda. The only propaganda we're talking about is we're going to kill you.
Right. And again, propaganda. But propaganda only works if you have somebody who's going to listen to it.
and someone who is going to broadcast it. ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN,
CBS.
MSNBC.
We spread our own.
What?
And all I'm saying is this, okay? Again, stop treating us like we're children and idiots. We can decide for ourselves, especially with a governmental regime or a governmental party that wants government to be small. They don't want it. They keep saying, they give us the lip service that they don't want to be over us, telling us everything to do. And yet, except when it comes to certain things. Oh, well, you know what? We can ask you to send your fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters and cousins to war, but we don't have to tell you why.
What are you talking about? We don't have to tell you why. They tell everybody why when they enlist.
Right. And
when you're in the military, you find out what you're fighting for and why you're fighting. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, you do. But again, it is still the people back home that have to support.
That's none of their goddamn business.
It's the people back home who want to know what's going on and the reasons we're doing this.
Yeah, the reason is this. You like driving your gas guzzler? You like drinking your beer on Sunday watching football? Well, we got to protect those little freedoms that you take for granted. And we're going across the water over there, and we're gonna kill an Iraqi for your pappy.
Kill an Iraqi for your pappy.
Well,
right.
We had to kill a mommy. We had to kill a mommy. We had to kill a commie for your mommy.
In history, it has been proven that you can say that, but again, you still have people back home who start to question, well, I don't know, what's going on? I mean, are we really in there for this? Whether it's tree huggers or whoever you want to call them, there's always that dissenting view. Well then, look, this is what you have. This is what they think of you. Here it is, right on your screen. Right on your newspaper. There it is. Now you decide.
It's Reese on the radio. We'll be back.
Circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb in white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
Ah!
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I help send against you.
It's Reese on the radio. 901 is your 1 minute to the hour on this May the 3rd, 2012, is Therapy Thursday. Now, I've got a very, very odd question to ask
It's a monetary question. So you got to follow me on this one. So, according to the story, the Drug Enforcement Administration has extended an apology to the University of California engineering student who was locked in a holding cell for more than 4 days and forgotten about. The student ended up drinking his own urine in desperation and attempted to kill himself at one point before the agent returned 4 days later and found him, according to a news conference he gave to NBC and other outlets. The DEA from San Diego, who is the acting special agent, his name is William R. Sherman, said in a settlement, "I'm deeply troubled by the incident that occurred here last week." According to this story, his name is Daniel Chong. He's 24 years old. He said he was taken into a local DEA office after he was caught in a drug raid where he was smoking marijuana on April 20th. Now, he says he went to his friend's house. He had to went there to go smoke some weed, as college students do. Well, at least some of them, not all, of course. So, drug raid came in. They went there looking for some other drugs. They got in there. They grabbed him, put it in a holding cell. They weren't planning on charging him. They had no intention of charging him. But some put him in a holding cell about him. And I hear he had no bathroom, but in order to survive, he had to drink his own urine twice. In another instance, he was looking around for something and he found the little baggie inside the cell. He ate it because he didn't know what it was. He was just thinking it was food, but it also turned out to be crystal meth. So he ended up taking that as well. So now, he's on some hallucinogenic, starving, drink urine. So that's probably where we get the attempted suicide from. So he's gone more. Here's the question.
We are losing you like crazy.
Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. How about that? Is that better? Okay. So what happens now? He gets a lawyer. And he's suing them for $20 million. 5 days, $20 million. Is he asking for too much or too little? And if the amount is not enough or too little, or too, like if it's too much, what should it be? If it's too little, am I saying this right? If it's too little, how much should it be? And if it's too much, how little should it be? That's what I should be saying. So what do you think the right amount should be? James?
Okay, $20 million for five days. Well, this was 5 days that he was forgotten about.
Right.
I mean,
for $5 million a day.
$5 million a day, but again, now, again, you said he was caught in a suite.
He was only at his friend's house to smoke weed. He didn't know what drugs they were there possessing. He doesn't know person's personal life, you know, like if they're a big drug dealer, they've got kilos, whatever it is. He just knows the kid, you know, from around the area, and the two of them hooked up. He said, "Hey, you know, you want to come out and smoke some weed? Yeah, I'll be over in a minute." So he goes over, smokes some weed. DEA busted, boom. Now, the DEA says they had no real want or need to charge him with anything. They had
right.
no intention.
Now, this is the part, see, this is where they're culpable now. All right? And $5,000, although I do think it's a little extreme, but, he's not going to get the $5 million. What was it again?
$20 million.
Well, it's $5 million a day, right? Yeah, okay. But from their own words, they had no reason to charge him, so he wasn't, you know, he wasn't in the case that they had obviously gathered in order to rush the house, which in turn leads to why he was forgotten about.
Well,
he wasn't
yeah, that's
enough.
Probably you're probably right. And by the way, he was released on the fifth day. 4 days he was locked up, so he's asking for $5 million a day just to get the math.
Right.
Or
that he was
talking,
locked up.
Screaming now, going, that doesn't add up to 20. But
now, all right. But the thing is, it's still whether it's 4 days or 3 days, whatever. He was forgotten about. He wasn't fed, obviously. He wasn't given water, obviously. He was just they put him in a cell. And screw him.
Well, now it gets. I forgot about this part, and I should have told this.
Because
this
yeah.
is another part. He ended up in the hospital for another 5 days.
For another 5 days.
Yeah,
well, because of the dehydration. I mean, come on.
They
come
said
on.
He suffered kidney failure.
It's water, but it has no nutrients. It's
terrible. Wait. They said he suffered kidney failure and dehydration.
Well, dehydration. Once again, dehydration. See, people think that as long as you just drink water, you can't be dehydrated. That's a misnomer.
Oh no, I agree. I'm just saying.
Simply because
he
was drinking his own piss. And again, now he's just suffered liver failure. Liver problems, right?
Right.
So you're putting back
kidney.
Okay, kidney, same thing. Well, no, all right. Actually, even better. The kidney is to drain the body of impurities.
That's correct.
But he's drinking his own urine. So you're putting back the impurities that the body is getting rid of.
I understand. So the point is, what's the right amount?
What's the right amount? You know what? I think he got it right. I don't think he's going to get it, but
$4 million a day?
Huh?
$4 million a day?
$4 million a day? Well, come on, man. This is a person who his basic human rights were violated.
That's true.
How do you put a price on that?
Yeah, I'll admit that part. If I was
there
for 4 days.
Yeah, 4 days,
anguish.
And no one even came to see if he was thirsty.
They forgot about him. That's
they forgot about him. They didn't even know he was in the cell.
Yeah, they had completely forgotten about him.
Completely. So, yeah, oh, come on, man. There's no price you can put on that. Along the lines of your question, there is no amount that he could say that wouldn't be enough. There is none.
How about
not
you,
for
JC?
That.
How about you, JC? What do you think?
Okay, well, that was going to be my question. How close to death was he?
Well, no, they're not saying he was close to death. They are saying that he almost committed suicide because he didn't think anybody would come and get him. And if he's a college kid and he's with the DEA, if he's one of those kids who believes in, like, conspiracy theories or anything like that, or at this particular point it was like, wow, they just left me here to die. The government's messed up. They ain't been here 2 days. Oh, they ain't been here 3 days. Oh, my God, I'm going to die. I just killed myself. If he's feeling that, and
okay.
He's going through that mental anguish, and then he eats a bag of crystal meth.
Eats whatever he can find. He's scrambling around his cell.
Yeah.
Trying to get something to eat.
High and drunk on his own brand.
Yeah.
Drunk on his own
high
brand.
And drunk on his
Are
own brand.
Me?
That's a pretty good one.
Wow.
It doesn't even matter if it was his
bag.
I
would
ask
for, I think 20 is too high.
You think it's too high?
Yeah.
No.
How much?
I'd ask for 10 and settle for 5.
I'm going $50 million here.
And you know why? The point is, did he have glaucoma?
No, I don't know.
What?
He's got, listen to me, he's got to sue him for $50 million.
But listen.
Make them settle.
If he wasn't there smoking marijuana medically.
So it doesn't matter. Doesn't
it was still illegal.
He was in there. He was smoking marijuana.
It was illegal.
Doesn't matter if he was smoking or not.
That's fine. No. James, let me get this. Hold on. You're absolutely right, JC. He was indeed committing a crime. Now, let's put that on the scales of justice. I'm smoking pot. You strand me in a cell for 4 days, and I end up in the hospital for 5. Weigh it out. Now, if I had been caught with the weed any other place, I'd have probably paid a fine. It's California. I probably wouldn't have done any jail time. If I did, I'd have probably done 6 days. But I'd still gotten food, bread, and water.
Mm-hmm.
I did 4 days, nothing. Total forgotten about. And you're a government agency. 50 million.
Yeah, of course you're going to ask for that high amount because it is a government agency and maybe not local, or you probably would ask that for local police as well. But the chick that got shot in Alabama for they were over there robbing. She was there and she was stealing.
Yeah. No, I'm with
you
on
that. He was
there.
He was smoking. He got shot.
She was breaking. No. She was breaking the law. She was in someone else's property.
And he was breaking the law likewise.
No.
Not saying
he
shouldn't get anything.
Wait. I don't understand this because I don't know the case you're talking about. Was she forgotten about? Did she?
No. She was breaking the law. She was breaking the law with 3 other boys. She's a 17-year-old girl. Her name is like Summer Moody. That's her exact name. Summer Moody.
Yeah.
She's breaking the law. She takes a boat over to an island. They jump over a fence. One of the people there see kids breaking in. They shoot. They don't shoot the other 3 kids. They catch Summer Moody in the head. She's in critical condition. The other 3 boys are arrested and charged. But she hasn't been arrested or charged because she's got a head wound.
Can't arrest somebody who can't. It's either way. I don't even want to go down that road. It doesn't matter. She wasn't put in a cell and forgotten about.
I didn't think she got that much.
One of the reasons she hasn't been charged is because she's still, at least from what you said, she was either in a coma or under a doctor's care.
Right.
All right.
But they didn't forget about her in the hospital.
But, wait a minute.
Apples and oranges much? You can't equate that for that one.
No. Well, let's talk about peaches and watermelons here.
Okay.
What about the guys that are being exonerated on DNA cases where they had nothing to do with it? They've been down for 25 years. They're getting a million at the most, $1.5 million.
Okay.
The most I've heard. They've been down for 25 years.
That actually helps this guy.
Well, I think in this case, if he was only going to do a minimal amount of time for the crime he did commit of smoking marijuana, he wasn't taken to the local authorities, which he should have been for smoking marijuana. Right? That's what he should have been taken to the local authorities, given a citation, and sent on about his way. They hold him in a federal jail.
Right.
And
which is older, which has more precedent than local. So you would think there would be more attention to the needs of your prisoner.
Exactly. First of all, it's a human rights violation. It's not a civil rights violation.
Not civil,
okay.
No.
Well, no, sure, it's a civil rights violation, and it doesn't matter if you're in jail. You still have basic civil rights.
They were violated. This man was forgotten about. If he had to drink his own urine.
Yeah, dude, it was expensive situations.
I heard that was healthy.
No, it's not.
No,
I told you, I know a guy who
did it on Howard Stern show for a band. It staves off death only in as much as it keeps you from drying out totally. But again, you're putting back the same impurities that the body is made to get rid of.
There you go.
You're putting him back.
Yeah, he was in dire.
The same could be for fat people straight. Keep eating Twinkies.
Twinkies.
Yeah, that's worse.
You're seven Twinkies
50.
In your body.
James, you say that it's right on par, 20 mil.
I'm saying there is nothing he could have said. There is no number he could have come up with that wouldn't have been right.
Right, I guess so.
Well,
I say
right. 10 and give him 5.
You said super 10, settle for 5.
Well, what do you think he's doing now? He's suing for 50. He's probably going to get 10.
No, he's suing for 20. He's probably going to get
5. One for each day. No, as a matter of fact, he's still going to get 10 because he's going to get, well, maybe like 19. He's going to get one for each day he was in jail and then for each day that he was in the hospital because his hospital stay was in direct correlation to his jail stay. So you have to ask that.
Absolutely right. It's like an extended
prison. If I'm an attorney for the government, I would say he fried his liver prior to this anyways with the drinking and the drugs.
You know what? The thing is, the drinking and the drugs,
smoking pot,
it's going to be forgotten about.
What's that?
The drinking and drugs are going to be forgotten about. And as a matter of fact, you know what? What I think, my prediction is, he's going to get a huge settlement, and then he's going to blow it for drinking and drugs.
That sounds about right. But he's
because drinking and drugs got him rich.
No. This is an Asian college kid.
Oh, my
okay?
God.
He's going to start up an internet business. He's going to be a billionaire.
And his kids are going to OD on drinking and drugs.
Well, let's hope not.
You got to start up a company that jailbreaks cell phones.
I think he'll be all right. He'll make it. Anyway, let's take a break. Let's take a break because when we come back, we have part two of the Bobby Brown Today Show interview.
Oh.
So we'll play that when we return. Stick around. It's Reese on the Radio. I think I can get some audio here. Come on. Hey.
There we go.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the 5 states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
And what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
I
don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, so I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward in the state of our union history.
3 years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours, a great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on ReSun Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
It's Reese on the Radio. 24 minutes after the hour, right here on blogtalkradio.com. Just too damn loud. Anyway, there we go. So, Bobby Brown is back in the news. And only because he did an interview with Matt Lauer.
Only because he said Whitney turned his butt on the drugs.
Well, that's important. Whitney turned Bobby on to the druggist.
Pharmaceutical.
Anyway, so the Today Show, milking it for all it's worth, had Bobby Brown back.
Another interview?
Oh, no. It's the same interview. They just did it in two pieces.
Oh.
So, as you know.
Oh, it's not the same interview.
It's the same interview, but it's just...
This morning, live.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not live. It was taped. Okay, so, as you remember yesterday, he talked about him being to blame for Whitney Houston's death. And we played this audio.
After Whitney passed away, Bobby, if I heard it once, I heard it 100 times. And I know you heard it too. Fans, people who say they were close to Whitney say her life went downhill when she met Bobby Brown. How do you respond to it? And how does it make you feel when you hear it?
It makes me feel terrible, but, you know, I know differently. I think if anyone ever knew us, if anybody ever spent time around us instead of time of looking through the bubble, they would know how we felt about each other. The reality show gave us a wake-up because we was able to see what other people were saying about us. You know, we was able to see that our drug use had affected our relationship, had affected the love that we felt for each other.
But why do you think you got the blame? I was reading some blogs after her death. One said, Bobby Brown killed Whitney. Not in the literal way, but in the figurative way. Others said, Bobby Brown is responsible for getting her hooked on drugs. Everyone seems to point the finger at you.
No.
And they say Whitney was more of an innocent victim in this.
No, that's not true. I didn't get high before I met Whitney.
On narcotics?
On narcotics, no. No, I smoked weed. I drank beer. But no, I wasn't the one that got Whitney on drugs.
So this was a part of her life before?
Way before.
You and she got together. Did you talk about it? Did you worry about it? Did you?
I worried about it when, you know, we first got together until I tried it. And when I tried it, for some reason I have an addictive problem.
So that's what he said. He said, until I tried it. She was doing it way before I got with her.
But when I tried it, I got an addictive personality and I got hooked.
Pass the pipe.
It's better for two people to get high than just one.
No, it's not. It's not cheaper that way.
No, when you got that much money, you can have three, four, five people getting high.
Again, this is still not cheaper.
I didn't say it was cheaper. I said it's better.
Cheap drugs?
No, I didn't say cheap. I said better.
I don't know about all that.
Better to get high with somebody. Misery loves company.
What you said. Anyway, so let's get to today's interview.
Please.
The question was whether or not Bobby Brown was invited to the funeral.
Was there ever any doubt of that?
No.
I didn't think so, right?
No.
All right, Matt Lauer asked him about that.
We start this morning by talking about the controversy surrounding Whitney's funeral and the reports that he was not invited.
They definitely wanted me there. It wasn't that I wasn't invited. I was invited. So just coming to pay respects to my ex-wife, they would not, you know, hold me from, you know. That's not the type of family the Houston family is. They're a great family, and I appreciate them very much, you know.
And what happened?
Whoever the security was there asked me to have my, what they called my entourage, which was my children, sit somewhere else. We had to sit apart, and I was not willing to sit away from my children. So, you know, after the third time them coming to me, I felt a little, you know, disrespected by the security that was there. I decided that, you know, it'd be best if I just left. I kissed the casket, and me and my children left the building.
So he left the building. And you notice that little nice thing he said about the family? Oh, they're not that type. That's not their style. You
Bobby,
believe it?
You need to take a line or something.
What's that supposed to mean?
Because maybe you'll speak the truth. You know damn well them jokers did not want your butt there, nor did they want your entourage of children there.
Awesome. Why were you calling his children his entourage?
Well, that's what they called them. You know, I'm making fun. So, you had your little football team with you.
No, you're out of line. They were her football team, too.
Hold on. They didn't want you there in the first place. Then you had to bring all these kids, all these crumb snatchers.
You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe you're saying this.
Stop it. Then you had to bring all the kids, which, I mean, I understand the little crumb snatchers called her mommy, you know.
For 14 years.
I have no problem with that. I know, JC, I'm just... You know, I'm just joking.
She's just a firebrand today. Muckraker.
Listen, You know damn well the people didn't want you there. Stop getting on TV talking about, oh, they're not that kind of people. Yes, they are, Bobby.
Okay, all right.
You ain't getting hot.
All right, all right. All right, all right.
Isn't there some buttons on a dishwasher she could push or something?
I don't know. Hold on. Let's get into the next clip. Asking. Of course it's.
Oh, I love it.
I got a whole bunch.
It's Bobby and Whitney all
okay.
the time with Mary, Mary, why you bugging?
All right. This goes right to what you were just talking about. This goes right into what you were talking about. What you were pretty much berating him about Sissy Houston. About whether or not she wanted him there. Now, this is interesting, because this contradicts everything you just said, so you're kind of spot on. All right, listen to this.
Did you reach out to any of them? I tried to reach out to Witness Vaughn. I haven't been able to reach her yet.
And it's been 2 months.
Yes.
Does she just not want to talk to you?
No, I wouldn't say that. I know she's going through it, deeply, deeply going through it. She lost her only daughter. I love her dearly. And I'm here anytime she wants to talk. I'm here.
So she says, or he says, I haven't talked to her in 2 months. I haven't reached out to her.
No, I've tried to.
I tried to, yeah.
She doesn't return my calls.
Right.
Bobby?
Oh, yeah. He's delusional about that one.
You, though. Like, I Hold on. Stand Bobby Brown.
Come on.
I hated Bobby Brown. He got on my nerves. I just could not stand him. But this new soba, Bobby, I'm kind of digging you, my man. You speak well.
He said drink.
Well, okay, that's the only thing he said. He said drink. All right, so what? I drank.
She fantasizes about him calling her ma.
Hell no. Now, I didn't say I like Bobby Brown like that. He's
okay.
not cute.
Hold on. There's more. All right. Now, Bobby Brown is asked about his own alcohol and drug use. Next clip.
I want to ask you about your current status. You were involved in a DUI arrest not
yes.
long ago. Are you clean and sober right now, Bobby?
I'm very much clean and sober from narcotics. I do drink. I'm not allowed to drink for the next 30 days, but I do have a cocktail occasionally, I will, again, I know that, but I'm 7 years clean from narcotics, so, I'm living a life that I want to live.
Other people continue to talk, and the doubters are out there, and
they
you've addressed
doubt,
them already.
They can doubt all they want.
And when they worry, Bobby, mm-hmm. and they look at Bobby Brown, and they say, our fear is this will end badly, too, you say?
I say, you got the wrong one. You got the wrong one.
Okay, now hold on before anybody says anything. Now, Matt Lauer, he pulled one right over on him. He said that there are people out there who are worried that his life may end tragically as well. Who in the hell are these people?
Nobody.
This reminds me.
Bobby Lyon.
Excuse me, his fans.
And Matt Lauer.
Okay, you might care. There was this great, great joke that I heard Jimmy Kimmel tell once. He said once. He said, about Gary Coleman. He said, Gary Coleman spent $5,000. No, pardon me. He had spent $10 at a Spencer's for some such and such. And then he said, I know you're all asking the same question. Where did Gary Coleman get $10?
That's so rotten.
It's kind of what he's saying about Bobby Brown. Oh, some what? People are saying, what could happen to you? There are a couple of people out there going, can't this happen to him?
Well, what I want to know is, how are you 7 years clean and sober, first of all?
Yeah, it's not, you can't be clean and sober drinking.
Well, your behind ain't been clean and sober for no sense.
He slipped from narcotics.
So weird, everybody knows.
He did say from narcotics.
Well, he did say from narcotics. He did clear it.
Okay. No.
Yeah, but see, the thing is,
he been clean for 7 years from no narcotics either. And I'm sure
he's
seen video in less than 7 years of him with his like when you high on coke.
That's
your
that's impossible.
You talking like you done had a stroke.
No, he's got that P. Diddy disease. You know,
no.
The droop mouth.
Nah.
Yes, he does.
You know,
and his mouth doesn't drag like it used
hold on,
to.
Hold on. We're talking to each other. Go ahead, Jason.
I said his mouth doesn't flop over like it used to. Not as bad.
I don't know. Anyways,
the weight of that, when he was high on powder, the weight of that bottom lip just
over
the ridiculous.
James, go ahead.
All right. There's a reason they call it clean and sober. There's a distinction. Clean is the drugs. Sober is alcohol. All right? So clean and sober. You can't say you're clean and sober, but I still drink. Then you're
that's
not sober.
Right.
And I'm going to keep drinking.
Okay, now, to a story that we've covered here on Reese on the Radio. They get into Bobby Christina.
Let's talk about your daughter. All right, mm-hmm. Bobby Christina. And the smile comes to your face, which is nice. But she's got to be going through a really tough time. How's she doing?
She's actually, she's a strong girl. Her mom taught her well. I think we raised her really well. She's fine. She knows that her mom is gone. And she knows that she has to live.
And yet there are reports, Bobby, and you notice that her family's concerned about her, that Whitney's family is concerned about her. There have been some incidents where she was seen smoking pot. Some people say other things as well, other drugs. Are you worried about that?
I would always be worried about that.
Is it a real concern?
Right now, no.
Yeah.
No. Because I know what she is actually doing. I think people are, you know, making assumptions of what my daughter is and how strong she is. People tend to want to control strong-willed people, and that's what I see.
So in your opinion, there is no issue with Bobby Christina and addiction at this moment?
Right. I am her father. She talks to me about everything.
Okay. I've got an issue with this one, and here's why. Wait a minute, Mary, before you start screaming.
BB, you're bugging.
Let me just get my point across. I don't think that he clearly knows or really knows whether or not she's doing drugs. Guys, do you agree?
I agree.
Okay.
You know, I don't know whether to agree or not, because if anybody knows, it would be him, but I'm sure he has his own ways of thinking about things, obviously. But, again,
hold on,
just because other people say it, don't make it true.
Right. Here's what it is that I think. I think what Bobby Brown should have done is say that I don't believe. Not say that I know. Because I don't think he knows. I don't think he has a clue at all. And here's why. It's the second part of the Bobby Christina part. Hold on, here it is right here.
There are also reports about her dating life.
She's a young lady, and, you know, I would expect her to have a boyfriend.
But is that boyfriend her adopted brother?
I don't know about that. I don't think so.
Would she tell you?
She would definitely tell me.
You sure?
I'm positive.
Would that be an appropriate relationship, in your opinion, if it were to be true?
Nick's a good kid. I have nothing against Nick.
You say she's my daughter, I'm her father, she would tell me everything. Have you asked her? Have you come
Out
and said, are you dating Nick?
Yes, I have, actually.
All right, now come on.
Report.
So what did she say?
She said no. She said no. Definitely not.
Okay. She says, he says that he asked her, she said no, about dating Nick. He says that she would tell him if she was dating Nick. Does that sound believable to you?
No.
James?
No.
damn it, Bobby, just as I was starting to like you.
So I don't believe any of that. I think that's garbage. I don't think he's going to let her business out. So he was playing a little evasive there. Okay, last question.
Well, yeah, but even if she did tell him, and again,
but
you know, everybody keeps calling him her adopted brother. He's not.
Right.
Okay, that's fine, but he should have just came straight out and said, I prefer not to talk about my daughter and her personal life. That's
well, yes,
yeah,
but
he engaged in that conversation.
But he shouldn't have engaged in it.
Yeah, I agree.
Well,
and by not engaging, that would have been
That's what people like that do.
But Bobby could have responded and said that my daughter is off limits. You know, you want to talk about me, you want to talk about Whitney, you want to talk about our drug use, you want to talk about my relationship with her parents or with her family, that's fine. But my daughter, no.
All right.
It's kind of hard to do that once you've already opened up the floodgates.
Yeah, I agree with you there as well, James. Okay, last clip. These are the kids. You refer to them. What's the daughter's name? LaPrincia?
LaPrincia, yeah.
Yeah, LaPrincia. The son, who is also a performer, and I think the oldest boy, who's kind of quiet and subdued.
LaPrincia?
That's her name. Okay, so here's... Oh, yeah, and Bobby Brown's manager slash fiance. She's also there. And this is the last part of the interview.
My dad's a great person. He's been my best friend, like... my whole life, if I ever have a problem with anything, I know I can always go to him.
Yeah, the rest of you? Is that the reason you're here?
Yes, definitely.
Because you don't feel that the public has
not have the right perception of him.
I feel like my father's always had the bad boy image, so, you know, they just, they keep following that, you know.
Is any of it deserved?
I think the bad boy image is just a part of the performance, the stage presence. Not what people put on them.
Everyone goes through their ups and downs. You can't be judged forever about one event in your life or just the bad decisions you've made. You can't always be judged just by that.
Alicia, you're engaged to this man.
Well,
you know, thank you, because I was going to say, how many times have your girlfriend or your family members come up to you and said, do you know what you're getting into?
If they're my friends or my family, they know that I know what I'm getting into, absolutely, because they know this man. We go through the ups and downs together, and it's meant to be.
Bobby Christina is not here. What's your relationship with her like, guys?
I've always been really close with my sister. As of lately, we haven't really spoken. When she is ready to speak, when she is ready to have the love that we all want to give her, we'll be.
Relationship, we've been close, of course, I'm her older brother, so we got along very well, and I love her.
We just want to talk a little bit about Whitney's funeral. It turned a bit controversial. Your dad has explained it to me. I'd love to hear it from your perspective.
They sat us.
Oh, we were an entourage.
Yeah, we were the entourage.
That's what we were.
And they sat us, and you know, I saw someone talking to my dad, but I didn't know what they were saying, and until he tapped me and said, let's go.
All I know is that I've known that woman since I was, like, 3 years old, and that I cared about her, and I loved her. And I wanted to be there to say goodbye to her and be there to support my sister. I didn't get that chance.
If you could say something to Whitney's family, Sissy, and the people like that, what would you like to say
that
to them?
That we even love them and wanted just to say goodbye to her, and we love her. We were all family at some point. We spent so much time together.
And that's how it ended. Except for the fact that Matt Lauer mentions that he extended the invitation to Bobby Christina, and she declined.
She was too busy getting high.
No, stop it now.
And humping around.
So, I mean, I feel for the kids. Especially LaPrincia, and I've never heard that girl talk. But when she started talking about Whitney, and she kind of choked up, she said, you know, look, I've known this woman since I'm 3 years old. In essence, that's her mother.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She doesn't know anything else.
Yeah.
You know, 3 years old.
They consider the entourage really.
Yeah, that was really tacky by the security team.
That was tacky.
Yeah, really tacky by them. But it was
and
new.
And the thing is,
so
man,
you
can't. What I'm saying is, you can't really believe that security just went there and said that on their own.
Oh, no.
I don't believe that.
I don't think they'd have
the
balls
that
to.
Didn't happen.
Yeah,
no, well,
way.
you're saying that this was somebody was put up to this.
Yeah.
Somebody put them up. Yeah. One of the family said, "Look, you need to get rid of them. Get him out." There's no way.
Hold on. Listen what I'm saying. And I'll put it to you like this, and you tell me whether or not you agree or disagree. Forget about what you think about Sissy. Let's take her out of the equation. Let's talk about all the family, the friends, all the people who claim to be Whitney's family.
Mm-hmm.
All right? We're taking Sissy and the immediate family out of the equation. You got friends. You got associates. You got the Winans. You know they took up half of you. They're all over the place. And they don't like Bobby. Never have. Never will. Somebody gets in somebody's ear. Yeah, that Negro here. Can't believe he showed his face. Somebody need to get rid of him. And then somebody puts something in somebody's ear. And then they go, nah, don't send him over there. Sissy gonna walk over there. Move them again. You know, you got little people who throw dirt in the game.
You got
how it works. Do you think that's a stronger possibility than just pinning it on Sissy?
No, I don't.
No.
Because, think about it, all right? These are the security people, and who do they work for? All right?
Well, they weren't working for Sissy.
It's a poor security person who's going to let somebody else put something in your ear. You go by your employer's word.
I understand that. But if you think, wait, do you think Sissy, if you would think that Sissy, at this time of grief, and you know she was grieving, she had no control. She wasn't out there pulling the strings of this whole event. There were people who were in charge. There was a funeral planner, a funeral director. Those people who were out there pulling the strings. You talk here, you talk there, pallbearers go there, family goes here. There are people out there pulling the strings, people who are in charge. Those people are out there, they're in charge of Whitney's funeral. You know it's, you know, Miss Mabley, Miss B, sitting around and go, uh-huh. Guess who just walked in? I can't believe they invited him. You know what?
I can't believe he showed up, you know.
That's right. Make his
ass
miserable. And his little nappy-headed kid. And his little nappy-headed kids.
Oh,
make sure
black
they get
devil.
Yeah. You know that they are going to be out there to make his life miserable. Make him feel unwanted.
Mm-mm.
And as Matt Lauer says in the interview, everybody believes he's responsible. Man, when I got the tweet from my hometown at the Italian Citizen Center, there's Italian guys in Boston, in his hometown, said if Bobby Brown walked in right now, he wouldn't have felt right. An old bunch of Italian guys who knows he's from Boston was going to put a hurting on him over Whitney. Osama bin Laden was going to put a hit out on him.
Yeah.
Osama bin Laden would have been able to sit in the, at least sit in the back.
Exactly. Osama bin Laden would have gotten an invite over Bobby Brown. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but
so
Sissy is also a person that has gone on record, you know, I mean, even with...
outspoken.
Yeah, outspoken.
Yeah.
It's not somebody who's a strong woman who can pull herself together in a time of grief, it's been said, all right? This is not a woman who's just going to leave that to chance?
Well, I'm sure that somebody...
And she already tried to kick out what's his name.
Well, what about this? What about this? What if they had seated Bobby Brown in this family? And there were other people in the pew, right? Other people in his pew or sitting near his pew who saw him. And somebody said, better not sit that Negro next to me. Better move him. Mm-hmm. You know what? If my mama see him, she going to slap him. And somebody turns around and says, all right, well, we don't want no drama at the funeral. It's being televised, mm-hmm. for crying out loud. Maybe
but
we should move him.
See, but that didn't happen. Because of what everybody has said, all right? Bobby and the kids had said they were treated as entourage. They were walked over by security. So it wasn't just somebody sitting next to them in the pew.
I understand
that. Own admission.
What I'm saying is I believe that it's strongly likely that someone in the pew saw him there, knows Whitney's dead, hates Bobby Brown, doesn't want him seated next to them because they may say something vicious to him. I mean, and again, I don't want to be racial here, but this is a black event, and you know how Negroes get.
Yeah,
I mean,
and the thing is, yeah, and even Negroes, like, and I can't stand when you do that. But
I'm sorry, but Negroes shoot each other at funerals.
There's still some protocol here, all right? Even if you don't like sitting next to somebody, yeah, you'll sit there and you'll do the head bobbing and the mm-hmms, all right? But protocol demands that you don't actually say something during the funeral. Now, in the wake or afterwards, then it's on. But at the funeral, you're there for the family.
I agree with you there, James. But maybe someone's trying to avoid it altogether. I'm really believing that this was not at the behest of Sissy Houston. It had to be somebody else there.
No, I don't believe
who
so.
Who didn't like him.
Mm-mm.
Man, how many people do you think were at that funeral who didn't like Bobby Brown?
I would say 99% of them.
Who's paying the bills?
It doesn't matter. Who was it there? If you had to break this down,
security
percentage. Wait. If you had to break this down in percentage, how many of those people in there, percentage-wise, do you think had some really harsh feelings about Bobby Brown?
Everybody.
Or at least a good 99% of them.
Can I get my pat on the back? Because I did say that this was coming. Well,
right.
Everybody's going to blame Bobby. So...
You called it, James. I thought that was obvious, to be honest with you, but you did call it.
Listen, Sissy sat at the front of that church, and she heard Bobby was there. She poked her lips up, tapped her foot.
Said,
yeah. Blue, you better get Buford over there and get that nigga up out of here. He's going to make me curse. I've been in tight.
Yeah, I can't believe that anything going on in that funeral didn't have Sissy's stamp on it.
I don't know. I don't agree. We'll take a break. When we come back, Cats in Prison. It's Reese on the Radio.
Trying a brand new menu item at McDonald's isn't risky. You know what's risky? Petting a stray pit bull or shaving your head just to see how it would look. That's risky. Naming your son Sue, super risky. Giving your friends your Facebook password, ultra risky. So trying a new menu item at McDonald's is about a zero on the old risker scale. Try a snack size of our new Chicken McBites for free with purchase of any extra value meal from January 30th through February 5th. New at McDonald's means no risk, delicious reward. Participation may vary.
I tried a lot of cars, Ford Pinto, the Pontiac Fiero, but the Volt was the first car that truly got me excited and looking into the prospect of buying American again. Yeah, I've heard they're catching on fire in some cases, but I found that the fire really helps me get to my destination faster for fear of my life. Also, people really move out of the way when giant hunks of metal are hurtling towards them. probably the one thing that sold me on the car. I'm really proud of what GM has been able to accomplish by working with the Obama administration. They've proven that in America, you can make it in any business, as long as you have unlimited financial resources and the backing of the United States government. I don't know about you, but I think that's more than worth the couple $100,000 it costs taxpayers every time somebody buys one of these suckers. I'm sorry, do you smell something?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the radio. Three minutes to the top of the hour here on Reese on the radio. Okay, tomorrow, I promise, Friday night dance party. In the event that no breaking news happens. But I wanted to get this story out because I've only got 2 minutes. So, of course, I want to thank JC, the producer, Kool-Aid Man, James Montgomery, and, of course, our female of the group, who seems to have gone a little wild on Bobby Brown today.
Oh, BB has been bugging.
Anyway. This is in Yacolt, Washington. Apparently, they have decided that they're going to give cats to prisoners. That's right. Apparently, it's called Cuddly Cats. It's a program at large correctional facility in Washington, Yacolt, Washington. Nobody wanted to adopt this mean, vicious cat, so they gave them to the prisoners so the prisoners can learn to train them and learn how to be house cats. So far, there's only one. They're about to bring four more in, and they're giving cats to prisoners so that they can teach prisoners to be domesticated. What in the hell's the world come to?
It's unbelievable.
The only thing that I can say to you is, finally, prisoners will be able to get some pussy in jail. It's Reese on the radio.
Hey.
See you tomorrow.
Hey.
Go ahead.
If they did that in China, it would be Thanksgiving.
Oh, it's time to get out of here. We are too bad. It's Reese on the radio. Talk to you later.